Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to read a portion of two verses. In verse 2, I'll read the first two words. In verse 3, I'm going to read the last half of that verse. So let me read this all in one sentence. Be watchful. If you shall not watch, I will come on you as a thief, and you shall not know what hour I will come upon you. Can you imagine Jesus warning this Pentecostal church to be watchful? When he says, be watchful, that's a warning. Have you ever told your children words like that? If they're out in the yard, playing near the road, you tell them, watch out, don't get out into the street, you'll get run over by a car. Or if you see them in danger and you can't get to them right away, you yell to them, watch out, there's a car coming, watch out. That's a warning. I've had people to tell me that when I go to New York City, that I had better watch out and be careful what neighborhoods I went into, because they were dangerous neighborhoods. Jesus is saying here, watch out. You're in a dangerous neighborhood. You're in the neighborhood of the walking dead. Watch out. If you don't watch out, I'll come on you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. This church in Sardis was a Pentecostal church. Pentecostal churches was the fastest growing religious group in the world at that time, and so it is still today, the fastest growing group of believers in the world, with more than 700 million. They were outgrowing the Jewish church. They were outgrowing the religions of all the other idols. The crowds were coming, and the other religious groups were jealous. Their worship was spontaneous. Their worship was not just limited to music. These Pentecostals shouted and prayed out loud during their worship services. Singing was not just limited to the end of the song. If led by the Spirit, they extended the song and extended the time of praise. These believers believed in lively worship because of the influence of the Holy Spirit. They prayed aloud, clapping their hands and shouting, sometimes anointing the sick with oil, and prayed for their healing. And many were healed. They gave thanks, expressing their love for God as they communed with the Almighty. This Pentecostal group, which began on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, was considered a movement, not a monument. They believed in speaking in tongues, in divine gifts, such as healing. They knew that speaking in tongues was the outcome of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Their church services included speaking in tongues, prophesying, and divine healing. Even women were given the opportunity to serve as prophetess, according to Acts 29:9, which tells us that Philip had four daughters, which did prophesy. This was indeed a Pentecostal church. But over time, it had quenched the Spirit. They had programmed the Spirit right out of their worship services. Did you know the best way to kill a Pentecostal church is to have a program that you refuse to deviate from? To have a program that you will not allow the Holy Spirit to come in with a divine interruption and have His way and His will in your midst. If you are determined to go by your program, if you are determined to put a stopwatch on your worship, the Spirit will find no avenue in which to work. I heard one preacher tell me one time, he says, "Brother Atkinson, God don't start working till after 12 o'clock. I said, "Well, brother, if you will allow him, God will work any time. God will work in your church at 11 a.m. if you will allow him to. If you will not try to stick to your program so closely, God will work any time that he has an opportunity. Any time that the Holy Spirit feels welcome in a church, he will move among the people." So he told them, "If you will not watch, if you will not look out, I'm going to come as a thief." "Come as a thief," he says, "and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." Most of the times when you read in the Bible where he speaks about Jesus coming as a thief in the night, he's not talking about the rapture. When the rapture takes place, it's not going to be like a thief in the night, because he's going to be coming to a people that's looking for him. In verse 3, when he says, "I will come on you as a thief in the night," that's not the rapture. When the rapture takes place, he's not going to come on us as a thief in the night. He's not going to come on us. He's going to come for us. In this phrase here, when Jesus said, "I'm going to come on you as a thief," what did Jesus say about the thief? The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then Paul says, and then we hear Paul say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 4, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day shall overtake you as a thief." 1 Peter tells us, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." He's coming as a thief in the night to kill and to destroy. The thief cometh not but to steal and destroy. He told them, "You won't know the hour that I come upon you. You'll never see it coming." My Bible tells me, "He that is often reproved and stiffens his neck is suddenly cut off, and that without remedy." I'm going to close the lesson right here, but I'd like to say this. If you have gone from a live wire to a spiritual deadhead, there is hope. There is time. Repent. Brother Tim Hill is going to sing a song that tells you what Jesus thinks about you.
I know actions speak much louder than any words can say. It's easy to express your love, then turn and walk away. But when Jesus said, "I love you," to a world that was lost, he had his say with love displayed from an old rugged cross. I want shining diamond rings, a band of gold, a string of pearls, a million different things. But to find a greater token of love,